Israel had planned for a war that would incite the nation and pit them against establishment, but to no avail. Regarding regional and international issues, the leader said wherever America has intervened, the outcome has been war, genocide, destruction and displacement. He said the Israeli attacks on Lebanon, Syria, Gaza and the West Bank are all backed up by the US, adding that the Tel Aviv regime would not be able to commit those crimes without Washington's support. Ayatollah Khamenei described the head of the Zionist regime as the most hated individual in the world. University professor and political analyst Fuad Izzedi says the US used negotiations as a deceptive tactic against Iran back in June.
Ayatollah Khamenei or any other officials in Iran have never dismissed dialogue. Iran was in the middle of negotiations with the other side when they attacked. They called the attack Midnight Hammer. They took that hammer and smashed the negotiation table. The other side has used negotiations, dialogue, as a deception operation against Iran, as we saw with the June attacks. Iran has always said that Iran is interested in resolving these issues that the U.S. has with Iran. And Ayatollah Khamenei consistently has said that we shouldn't be trusting the Americans because the nature of the government that you have in Washington, the propaganda on the other side is that Iran is not interested in dialogue. Iran has always been interested in making sure that whatever difficulties Iran and U.S. have, it's resolved through peaceful means. It is the other side that starts negotiations and attacks Iran in the middle of negotiations. And this is what I think Ayatollah Khamenei has been trying to highlight in his speech last night.
Iran has strongly condemned the escalating violence against Palestinians by Israeli forces and settlers in the occupied West Bank. Foreign Ministry spokesperson Ismail Baghai pointed to military raids and settler attacks in Nablus and Jenin, as well as arbitrary arrest and demolition of homes. He called for actions by the international community against brutal Israeli crimes in those areas. Baghai stressed that these crimes should be recorded as crimes against humanity. He urged the United Nations and the UN Human Rights Council to investigate gross violation of Palestinian rights. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson said those who commit crimes against Palestinians in the West Bank should be put on trial and punished. The Israeli forces have launched new attacks in Gaza, further violating the ceasefire agreement in the war-ravaged territory. At least one Palestinian has been killed in a drone strike on Khan Yunis, which has been the focus of IOF attacks since the truce took effect. Earlier, our correspondent in Gaza, Gada Ibrahim, joined us for the latest Israeli violations.
The Israeli violations of the U.S. brokered ceasefire agreement are continuously ravaging the eastern parts of Gaza City and the eastern parts of Khan Yunis as well. Since the early hours of the morning, the airstrikes are non-stop on the eastern parts of Khan Yunis, particularly the outskirts of Banisela and Al-Qarara. And the latest of these attacks resulted in one Palestinian martyr that was killed by a drone attack that targeted him while he was actually checking on his home in the eastern parts of Khan Yunis city. Again, these attacks are really very continuous and are non-stop since the beginning of the U.S. brokered ceasefire agreement until this moment. Every day, more attacks are ravaging the eastern parts of Khan Yunis city, and Khan Yunis is the focal point of the Israeli attacks since day one of this agreement. Again, more attacks are also taking place at behind the so-called yellow line in the eastern parts of Deir el-Balah city, the eastern parts of Al-Ibrej refugee camp, and also the eastern parts of Gaza city like Al-Shija'iyah and Al-Sha'af and Al-Tufah neighborhoods in the eastern parts of Gaza city. In the north also, Beit Lahia is also subjected to heavy artillery shelling and airstrikes around the hour that is coupled with the Israeli drone attacks and the Israeli fire from the vehicles and from the drones towards the people who are trying to return to their areas or those who are actually existing in these areas behind the so-called yellow line. Since the beginning of this ceasefire until now, we are talking about at least 351 Palestinians killed as a result of these attacks.
At least 13 people have been killed in Israeli artillery and missile strikes targeting a Damascus suburb in Syria. A number of others have also been wounded in the attacks in the town of Beit Jin. Reports say the artillery and missile strikes took place after clashes erupted between the town's residents and invading Israeli forces. The Tel Aviv regime sources say Israeli troops arrested 3 Syrians before withdrawing. The Israeli army frequently carries out ground incursions into Syrian territory in Qunaitre province in the occupied Golan Heights and Damascus countryside governorates. The repression of the Palestine solidarity movements continues unceasingly 2 years after the launch of the Al-Aqsa flood operation. The United Kingdom assigned the Palestine Action Group as terrorist, and now Austria is following suit. Several members of the anti-racist solidarity association Dar al-Janoub face similar terror charges for their activism. Our correspondent Dieter Heinisch reports from Vienna.
First came the media campaign, then the pressure from conservative politicians, threats against members and damage to their property. Now the Austrian state prepares terror charges against one of the most established anti-racist and anti-colonial organizations in the country, Dar al-Janoub. Among the accused is their current chairperson.
The situation was similar like the house raids against our association Dar al-Janoub in February. The house raids were supported by heavy force through the special unit Vega, and they came into my apartment and they confiscated laptops, telephones, documents from the association and also private books, for example a book from the 1980s in German language from Rassan Kanafani.
Following the raids, the activist lost his job and is now facing several charges for his political support of Palestine and anti-colonial struggle in the global south.
The state prosecutor accused us of membership of a criminal organization, membership of terrorist organizations, and also the we are people who force others to violent acts and terrorist acts.
The association had to close their premises due to the growing legal expenses. The activists face imprisonment of up to 10 years if charged. The Austrian government launched its crackdown on pro-Palestine protests and activists after October 7 in 2023. It imposed a ban on the first rally that was held after this date, but activists went ahead and held the rally, which resulted in the arrest of hundreds of them. Now, 2 years later, the court has announced its ruling on the legality of the ban.
The Constitutional Court has now ruled after 2 years that the ban on the demonstration was lawful. We will now appeal this decision to the European Court of Justice.
Legal experts say this harsh repression of the Palestine Solidarity Movement in the past 2 years increasingly undermines democratic rights throughout Europe.
Gerade auch das Strafrecht immer mehr.
Criminal law is increasingly becoming a system of thought crime. This means that people are being reported and convicted because they hold a particular political opinion that is deemed illegitimate by the authorities. And I consider this a very dangerous development.
The European Palestine Solidarity Movement has faced unprecedented repression and discrimination in the past 2 years. Germany and Hungary are among the most repressive states, but Austria is taking even one step further, equating opposition to the Gaza genocide with terrorism. Dieter Reinisch from Vienna.
The Vice President of the European Commission has lashed out at the US, accusing Washington of blackmail in trade talks. Teresa Ribeiro made the rebuke after the US Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick said Washington might ease steel and aluminium tariffs if the EU reconsidered its digital rules. Europe's antitrust chief pushed back hard, saying Washington is trying to strong-arm the EU into weakening its digital rulebook. She stressed that Europe's digital laws were in place for protecting its citizens and were not a bargaining chip for the US. Washington argues Europe's Digital Market Act, or the DMA, unfairly targets American tech giants, while the EU says it creates fair competition. In Panama's capital, dozens of people have held a protest against the growing US military presence in their country.
We are demanding that the minister and the government give the nation a detailed report. How many U.S. troops are stationed in the Republic of Panama? How much weaponry and what kind of weaponry they are using? Because people have witnessed it. There have been videos and photos showing tanks, some armored vehicles and other types of infantry artillery inside our territory. We do not accept that, because we are a people of peace.
The demonstrators gathered outside the foreign ministry in Panama City. They held banners reading Latin America and the Caribbean, Zone of Peace. The protesters delivered a letter urging the government to oppose the possible installation of U.S. military bases. They also called on authorities to withdraw from security cooperation agreements with Washington, considering those deals as threats to their country. Earlier in 2025, the U.S. and Panama signed a security cooperation deal as part of Washington's efforts to reduce Chinese presence in the Caribbean. Tunisia's president summoned the European Union's ambassador Wednesday after the latter met with the leader of the country's powerful main trade union. The authorities viewed the meeting as interference in the country's internal affairs, rejecting the notion that such talks could help promote diplomacy. Our correspondent Iskandar Nawar has filed this report from Tunis.
Tunisia made the headlines on Wednesday after President Qais Saied summoned the European Union's ambassador to lodge an official protest against what he called the failure to respect diplomatic rules. A statement from the presidency provided no details on the alleged breach in protocol by the European Union envoy, but referred to the use of practices outside diplomatic customs, a reference to his recent meeting with Nordin Tabubi, the leader of the North African country's main trade union. On Monday, Giuseppe Peroni, while meeting with Tabubi, commended the role of the Tunisian General Labor Union, UGTT, whose response called for the country's enhanced cooperation with the European Union. However, the revelation sparked a criticism, with the Tunisian authorities calling it an interference in internal affairs. We believe that the president's invitation to the European Union ambassador and his request to respect diplomatic rules and international agreement reflects a commitment to national sovereignty, a principle that was violated in the past 10 years. These comes as Tunisia faces a long political crisis with the reduced role of parties and organizations that has also increased the state's sensitivity toward any external actions. Also, the UGTT was part of the 2050 National Dialogue Quarter and seen as an influential counterweight to Saied since he took the helm of power back in 2021. Which the opposition described as a coup. The UGTT's ability to take on a larger political and union role depends on its strength and influence. Since 2011, it has been a key player in both politics and labor issues and an active partner in every government. President Saied has stressed that national sovereignty is a red line. Any political decision is in the hands of the government, and that relation with Europeans must be based on mutual respect without pressure. Many observers say Tunisia is open to cooperation with the European Union, but remains firm in protecting its political independence. However, the latest draw amid internal tensions and the challenges, the future of relations between Tunis and Brussels remain uncertain.
The European Union has been Tunisia's largest trading partner and TLA for decades. The two remains at odds over a number of issues, including migration and human rights since Saied came to power. The summoning of the European Union ambassador over the alleged interference in domestic affairs could sour the relation even further. Iskandar Nawar from Tunisia.
And that is a wrap for this hour's World News. Until next time, it's goodbye from me, Bahman Ray.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, it's now time for a short lecture by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani. In this session, he delves into the teachings of the Book for the Hadith by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This book is a profound exploration of ethical and mystical concepts in Islamic spirituality. Let's listen and reflect together.
Inshallah, we'll continue with the Book of Imam al-Khomeini on the topic of 40 ahadith. And in today's khutbah, we're going to move on to the next chapter of the book, and that is the chapter of at-tawbah, or repentance. Narrations tell us that when tawbah and the idea of tawbah and the concept of tawbah was brought for the children of Adam, the first to show his frustration and his anger as this was none but shaitan. Because this makes it too easy for you and I. Supposedly, it gives him no shot at this point. Because a human being can commit sins his whole life, and only if he gets to his heart before the heart is fully consumed, he repents, then he has a way out of it. And shaitan in that narration says, this is too easy. This is not possible. This is not fair. It's not a fair game. Yes? This is for us who sit back and say, oh, shaitan tricks us all the time. Yes, but the door of tawbah is open all the time too. No, it's more difficult for him actually than it is for us if we put in that effort. He continues, he says, but if this human being doesn't get to his heart before the heart is fully consumed by these black hot spots, these black dots, what happens to him? He completely forgets about tawbah at this point. Tawbah is not even a thing in his mind. Carries on with life, commits sins, the guilt isn't even there to push him. The guilt isn't even there to bother him. This nafs al-lawama is completely unraveled at this point. He continues with life, and this is what shaitan likes to see. A person who sins, and then he walks away as if nothing happened. It's no big deal. Don't stress. Don't bother yourself. This is what shaitan wants. He says if it reaches this point, then this person reaches a point where even when he does think about tawbah, this part is for you and I, even when he does think about tawbah, shaitan just tells him, you don't have to do it today, tomorrow. When you get older, next year, next Ramadan, next Muharram, well, you broke your heart tonight. You broke her heart tonight. You broke his heart tonight. You yelled at your children. You yelled at your parents. You, whatever we did. Yes? You did it tonight. But you know what shaitan will tell you? Tawbah has to be on a big night. You wait 3 months from now. Muharram. That's when you repent to God. No, you repent to God now. That's last resort. It's last resort. Ramadan is last resort that the narration says, if you come, Arafah, last resort. They say, if you come and you're not forgiven on this day, then you're seriously in trouble. That's last resort. You committed this sin now, you repent now. By then, God knows how much your heart is going to become hard. God knows how much my heart is going to become qasiy, as narrations say. The heart becomes hard. When the heart becomes hard, he is no longer affected by the words of God. Verses of Quran he hears doesn't have an effect because his heart is hard now. It's become qaswa. And the narration says, the verses of the Quran say, some hearts are harder than rock, Surah Al-Baqarah says. It says, some hearts are harder than rock. Surah Baqarah says beautifully. It says, some rocks, this is an analogy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using, it says, some rocks, they're really hard, it's a rock. But sometimes, because of natural events that happen, this heart, this rock will break open. And water will run through it. You've seen sometimes, if a waterfall is going, the rock is there. After 10 years, 15 years, what happens to this rock? Eventually, it makes way for the water. And the Quran says, there are hearts that are harder than that rock. Because there are hearts out there that for 10, 15 years, this guidance, this water of guidance will pour on them, but they won't crack. they will just be what they are. This is who I am. God likes it, he likes it. Doesn't like it, that's not my problem. This is what happens to the human being who doesn't repent immediately. And we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. This is why the Quran says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَادَ تَكْسِبُ قَدَى. Nobody knows what they're going to be doing tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بَأَيَّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And no one has any idea where they'll leave this world from, where their death will take place. I'm going to go on this trip. When I come back, I'll change things. I'm going to go on this trip. When I come back, I'll apologize. I'm going to go visit this. I'm going to go to work today. When I get back from work, then I'll apologize. Then I'll repent. Then I'm going to change things. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيَّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. Who said you're going to come back? Who said you will make it back from this trip? Who said you won't make it back after this conversation? This tawbah is now. He says if the human being reaches this point where he constantly is telling himself, tomorrow, the day after, a year from now, he says this is an example. This line is very powerful and it's scary. He says this is an example of the one who is doing makr with Allah. He's playing games with God. The Quran says, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. Yes? They plan and plot. We plan and plot too. Imam Khomeini says one of the examples of the human being plotting and planning with Allah is where he plays this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe a year from now. Maybe 5 years from now. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take it well when the human being starts to do makr with him. When the human being starts to play games with him. And this is why the verse says, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah is the greatest of all of those who plan. You start playing this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the consequences come. And this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Quran has told us very clearly. So he continues. He says, فَيَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ. My dear loved one, كُنَ عَلَى حَذَرٍ مِّن مَكَايِدِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Be wary and protect yourself from the plots and plans of shaytan. You think it was your idea to wait 6 months before you apologize. That's not your idea. This is shaytan's idea. He whispered it into your mind and then he gave you the idea that it was your idea. You think you're smart. You think you can play with God. You think you're smarter than him. You're not smarter than him. You think you have these genius ideas. And the Quran says, those who are buddies with shaytan, يُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. He reveals thoughts to them. And they think, this was my idea. And they don't know their buddy Shaytan was revealing this idea to them. This is word by word what the Quran says. يُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. He reveals to them. He says, كُنَ عَلَى حَذَرٍ مِّن مَكَايَدِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلَا تَمْكُرْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Do not plot and plan against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, but I'm not plotting against him. I'm not going to war with him. When you sin, when I sin and I don't repent, you are in a constant state of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lack of tawbah means you are keeping yourself in a state of what? If disobedience and objection towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I didn't take a sword, try to kill his people. You don't need to do that. When you sit in this side, you say, I committed the sin. I broke her heart. I broke his heart. And I'm not repenting from it. Every second you breathe, you're breathing in the tents of shaytan. If you imagine lines two sides to this battlefield, you're on the wrong side as long as you haven't repented. He says, this is tamkur. وَلَا تَحْتَالَ عَلَيْهِ. Don't try to plan against him. بِأَنْ تَقُولَ عَيْشَ 50 عَامًا أَوْ أَكْثَرَ مَعَ الْأَهْوَى ثُمَّ أَسْتَغْفِرُ رَبِّي. That you say, I'm going to live 50, 60, 70 years, and then I'm going to repent. This is you plotting and planning against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why should we do this when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunity after opportunity? And take a look at these narrations in which these narrations show us the multiple opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human being. I've always said, this idea that we read the verses of the Quran and we say, why doesn't God give them a second chance? What second chance? Allah gave them 1,000 chances. Allah gives you a chance every day. Allah gives you a chance every second. He gives me a chance every second. Every second we're breathing is a chance. Who said God gave you one chance for you to now ask for a second chance? He gave you more chances that you can count. Then yes, when he sees that he's given you hundreds of chances and thousands of chances, then it doesn't make sense for him to give you another chance. If he gave you another chance, you would sit there and say, Ya Allah, you're not wise. You already know who this person is. It's not even compatible with his wisdom. To then on the day when they're taking you from this world, and we all say, God forbid, لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا, take me back so I can do something good. You and I sit there and say, why doesn't God give them a second chance? God gave them 2 million chances. You're asking for 2 million in one? Well, the Quran has answered this question already. And the Quran has already said, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. This is just something he's saying. He doesn't believe in it. And if we were to take him back, إِنَّكُمْ عَائِدُونَ, you would go back to doing the same stuff you were doing before. Well, how does God know? How is he saying this? Because he did gave you this opportunity 2 million times and you went back to doing the same thing. He puts you through difficulty and you saw the difficulty and you still went back to doing the same thing. He puts you through an accident, God forbid, and then you went back to doing the same thing. You saw the consequences that happened in this world. And then what do you do? What did I do? I went back to doing the same thing. So the Quran says, إِنَّكُمْ عَائِدُونَ, you're going to return back to doing the same thing.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
First came the media campaign, then the pressure from conservative politicians, threats against members and damage to their property. Now the Austrian state prepares terror charges against one of the most established anti-racist and anti-colonial organizations in the country, Dar al-Janub. Among the accused is their current chairperson.
The situation was similar like the house raids against our association Dar al-Janub in February. The house raids were supported by heavy force through the special unit Vega, and they came into my apartment and they confiscated laptops, telephones, documents from the association, and also private books, for example a book from the 1980s in German language from Rassan Kanafani.
Following the raids, the activist lost his job and is now facing several charges for his political support of Palestine and anti-colonial struggle in the global south.
The state prosecutor accused us of membership of a criminal organization, membership of terrorist organizations, and also the kind of we are people who force others to violent acts and terrorist acts.
The association had to close their premises due to the growing legal expenses. The activists face imprisonment of up to 10 years if charged. The Austrian government launched its crackdown on pro-Palestine protests and activists after October 7 in 2023. It imposed a ban on the first rally that was held after this date, but activists went ahead and held the rally, which resulted in the arrest of hundreds of them. Now, 2 years later, the court has announced its ruling on the legality of the ban.
The Constitutional Court has now ruled after 2 years that the ban on the demonstration was lawful. We will now appeal this decision to the European Court of Justice.
Legal experts say this harsh repression of the Palestine Solidarity Movement in the past 2 years increasingly undermines democratic rights throughout Europe.
Gerade auch das Strafrecht immer mehr.
Criminal law is increasingly becoming a system of thought crime. This means that people are being reported and convicted because they hold a particular political opinion that is deemed illegitimate by the authorities. And I consider this a very dangerous development.
The European Palestine Solidarity Movement has faced unprecedented repression and discrimination in the past 2 years. Germany and Hungary are among the most repressive states, but Austria is taking even one step further, equating opposition to the Gaza genocide with terrorism. Dieter Reinisch from Vienna.
Pro-justice demonstrators supporting Palestine Action's co-founder Huda Amouri taking the British government to court in the first ever judicial review of a proscribed group.
This is the culmination of a really concerted effort and a campaign over about 5 years to completely crush protest laws in this country, which means completely crush the fundamentals of democracy in this country.
Over 3 days, the High Court is examining whether the British Interior Ministry, known as the Home Office, followed lawful procedure when banning the group in July this year. Last month, the government tried but failed to block the case altogether.
I'm appalled at the fact that genocide, the crime of crimes, is being swept under the rug in favor of the British state's geopolitical and economic interests. And we're familiar with this. I mean, obviously, I'm coming from Germany, where we are the German, the, not we, the German government is the second largest weapons deliverer to Israel. And the British state also has, the British Empire has interests that they are looking to protect. They are threatened by Palestine Action and by nonviolent direct action.
The hearing follows nationwide civil disobedience. The outcome of this court battle will have consequences for thousands of campaigners like these arrested for holding up these signs. Before the ban, which was issued under terrorism legislation, Palestine Action had targeted the UK-based sites of Elbit Systems, Israel's largest weapons manufacturer. They also sprayed red paint into the engines of two military planes they accused of refueling aircraft involved in Israel's genocidal war on Gaza.
The prescription has come because of a lot of pressure from outside interests, the military-industrial complex, political lobbyists, military lobbyists, both internally to the UK and externally.
The activists who carried out those actions are held in remand. Six are now on an open-ended hunger strike.
It can't be denied that this is all part of the same fight, and it's all inextricably linked together. If the deprescription appeal is successful, then it will prove to everybody that this is not a terrorist organization, and there's no justification to keep people held in prison without trial on terrorist charges.
In a dramatic last-minute twist, the judge adjudicating the case was replaced with a three-judge panel, including one that voted in favor of the UK sales of the F-35 parts to Israel, fueling accusations of a stitch-up among campaigners. Beyond the legal arguments, the campaigners here say this case exposes something deeper, and that is the length to which the British government is prepared to go to protect the Israeli regime and its interests, even if that means stretching the law to silence those who challenge them. Saeed Porizap, London.
A
As Israel's deadly onslaught in Gaza continues, any notion of a ceasefire exists in name only, according to Francesca Albanese. The UN Special Rapporteur on the Occupied Palestinian Territories told a European Parliament hearing on Tuesday via video link that relatively few countries have stood up for Palestinians.
The rest have been bending backward and forward to comply with the diktat of the United States, including European countries and European Union.
Albanese is scathing about the US-driven plan for Gaza's future, especially the reconstruction proposals.
The reconstruction plan not only is wrong as it's planned, because it's planned without the Palestinians and while the bombing and the shooting and the starving are still ongoing, but also because Gaza is a crime scene.
Several lawmakers expressed anger that Palestinians are not being placed at the center of discussions about Gaza's future.
It's so striking, the current EU reaction to the 28-point plan regarding Ukraine, where the EU very clearly said there's no plan without the Ukrainians.
Once again, fresh calls were made for the EU to halt all trade with the Israeli regime. There have been any number of debates and events in the European Parliament relating to the plight of Palestinians, but they effectively come to nothing. This is because any potential sanctions don't even get as far as here, the EU Council, and that is because the European Commission knows they'll be blocked by certain member states. Analysts argue that the EU has now taken a back seat on foreign policy, with the United States firmly in control.
I mean, the whole situation with the European Union in the Middle East now, it's clear there is no vision in Europe, there is no policy, at least no coherent policy.
Some legislators support Albanese's call for dual EU-Israeli nationals to be investigated upon re-entering the bloc, a measure previously applied to suspected foreign fighters returning from Daesh-controlled areas.
Was immediately, oh, this is a potential terrorist because he was fighting in the Middle East, and now it's completely silenced. I mean, the right wing, although they always talk about security and how to watch the borders so that no terrorists come inside, now they receive with open hands.
Albanese told the committee that the EU should suspend all ties with Israel except those required to enforce international court rulings against Tel Aviv. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Braving the autumn chill, people across Indian-administered Kashmir gathered in large numbers on Tuesday to mark the martyrdom anniversary of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, the revered daughter of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Tuesday event concluded week-long ceremonies in Kashmir and the neighboring border area of Kargil, which featured religious gatherings, scholarly conferences and mourning processions to honor Hazrat Fatima.
Hazrat Fatima exemplifies the highest standards of behavior as a daughter, wife and mother. Her life stands as a timeless model of virtue for every generation. Although she lived only 18 years, her spiritual closeness to God earned her the title of Leader of the Women of Paradise.
Mourners emphasize that Hazrat Fatima's immense contribution to Islam is often overlooked, particularly in the West due to persistent misconceptions about women's rights and status in Islamic tradition.
Islam uniquely advocates gender equality and firmly protects women's rights. In an era where society increasingly commodifies women, the teachings and example of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, are more relevant than ever, offering a complete model of dignity and respect. Her moral integrity, humility and devotion make her unique among all women.
Speakers recalled Prophet Muhammad's profound love for his daughter, affection that directly challenged the norms of pre-Islamic Arabia, where daughters were frequently devalued.
Hazrat Fatima possessed qualities beyond description. She was a divine personality and a fountainhead of guidance and piety. Our holy prophet's love and respect for his daughter was so profound that it would stand up in her honor. Her unwavering defense of justice and rightful leadership reflects her commitment to truth, integrity, and the rights of the oppressed.
The speakers urged people to study Hazrat Fatima's life more deeply and draw inspiration from her patience, piety, and unwavering faith, saying her legacy remains a guiding light for Muslim women and a model of steadfastness and spiritual excellence.
As Kashmir joined the global Muslim community in remembering Hazrat Fatima Zahra, scholars and participants describe her as a timeless role model whose humility, strength and devotion continue to guide Muslims across generations. Sayyidi Safir, Indian administered Kashmir.
Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Ali Larajani, arrived in Pakistan on Monday. His visit marks a significant step in the ongoing efforts by both countries to consolidate cooperation amid heightened regional tensions. Shortly after his arrival, Larajani met Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif, President Asif Ali Zardari, Deputy Prime Minister Ishaq Dar, and other high-ranking officials and think tank heads, engaging in wide-ranging discussions on bilateral ties and regional security. The discussions focused on expanding bilateral trade, with both sides reiterating their commitment to removing trade barriers, activating the barter trade mechanism, and expediting the Pakistan-Iran Free Trade Agreement. Larajani also praised Pakistan's support for Iran during the U.S.-Israeli aggression against the country earlier this year.
We discussed all key bilateral matters, especially how to expand our economic cooperation and strengthen trade. Pakistan is a true brotherly nation, and together we explored practical ways to deepen our security ties, enhance people-to-people contact, and coordinate our positions on major international issues.
Pakistani leadership underscored Islamabad's commitment to deepening political, economic, and security cooperation with Tehran.
We discussed all the regional, bilateral, and global issues. It was a wonderful meeting. I'm grateful to my brother Excellency for his visit and sparing time to meet with me. And we had very open discussion about all the issues which are currently being faced by the regional and the multilateral forums.
Observers say Larajani's visit signals a strategic recalibration in Iran's regional engagement after the June war with Israel. They say the visit also underscores Pakistan's rising relevance in Tehran's long-term vision, particularly in border security, regional trade, and balanced diplomacy in a volatile neighborhood.
We are proud of Iran's resistance. They have set a new example because they have shattered the myth of Israeli invincibility through the determination, through the will, and the fighting power of the Iranian nation. And we feel that Iran showed that imperialism, hegemony, Zionism, they say might is right, right is might. And they failed miserably in that.
Larajani is the second high-ranking Iranian official to visit Pakistan this month, after Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bakar Kalibaf.
The latest high-level meetings between the top officials of Iran and Pakistan show that the two neighbors are not only focused on boosting trade and economic partnerships, but also on developing coordinated mechanisms for regional peace and security. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Thanks to Trump, European Commission insiders say an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty continues to hang over EU-US trade relations. Meeting on Monday, EU trade ministers agreed the bloc must broaden its commercial horizons and seek additional stable partners.
What we are working on continuously, that we have to diversify our trade. The commissioner gave us a state on ongoing negotiations with India and a number of other countries and regions in Asia, Middle East and Africa.
It emerged at Monday's meeting, attended by senior White House officials, that the EU has already paid €173 billion for US energy imports this year, much of it for costly liquefied natural gas shipped across the Atlantic. Those charges filter through industry and ultimately onto consumers. It's a stark contrast to the much cheaper Russian gas that once powered the EU. The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, struck a deal with Trump at his golf course in Scotland last July. He had been threatening 50% US tariffs on all EU imports, but in the end they settled on a baseline 15% levy. Now Washington officials are annoyed at the EU over its slow implementation of that deal. punishing 50% US tariffs on EU steel and aluminium remain firmly in place. The current trade arrangements have drawn sharp criticism from inside the European Parliament.
Trump is the worst bully in the schoolyard. He picks on everyone. You should never give in to blackmail. The more money we promise to pour into the US, the more they will demand from us.
EU citizens are equally scathing of the current US administration.
I think it's just right now a pause maybe before, I know, like maybe then Trump decides to impose tariffs again or to increase them on us. And plus right now with the Ukraine plan, again, like the recently disclosed Ukraine plan, is going to be other tensions as well.
If Vance is taking the place of Trump because he's talking about that now, I think it's even more dangerous. And in a way, even if they go back and they will be less rude in a few years, I think the tune is set, if we can say this in English. I think it's very dangerous. Yeah, I think so.
Government leaders are being accused of surrendering far too much ground to Trump on trade, leaving millions of already struggling EU businesses and households to shoulder the cost. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Italian prosecutors will have to decide whether to put the suspects, who today are between 65 and 80 years old, on trial. They are suspected of voluntary murder aggravated by cruelty and abject motives, a crime which has no statute of limitations and carries a maximum life sentence. Some political analysts believe that the whole Sarajevo sniper tourism affair can also be read through the lens of geopolitics. They suspect that there are governments who are trying to link Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić to the so-called sniper safaris that took place in Bosnia in the 1990s.
The risk that this affair is turned into a political tool clearly exists. Some may be eager to find political implications in these murders, but they would be wrong. Those were just criminal acts.
I think it could well be politicized because the information that we have at the moment is very murky indeed, and no concrete details are being given as to what is actually being investigated. Neither the numbers, nor the people involved, nor the countries involved.
During the Rome press conference, Gavazzeni also pointed out that Italy's military intelligence agency was aware of the abominable trips when they took place, but nothing was done to stop them. Max Civili, Rome.
Say that love strikes only once. That precious moment I offer you. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest rope? You are my guiding light that walks me through the night. Your presence gives me strength, gives vision to my sight. Someday faith will increase, someday our wars will cease. Someday there'll be justice, someday there will be. Everything I possess, I offer you. I wanna be someone whom you can trust. Come save us from the world.
that's so unjust. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest road?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
The dimensions of Hazrat Fatima's personality, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, February 19th, 2018. Lady Fatima alayha salam. She was an exemplary woman who, although lived a short time and departed earth as a young lady, is a role model for all zealous, devout Muslim men and women, and even non-Muslim people who are familiar with her prestigious position. We should follow Fatima's lead. During the life of Fatima alayha salam, there is one point that we should consider. Here, we will not question the degree of her spiritual position and knowledge. We're not even capable of comprehending the spiritual greatness of Fatima alayha salam. In fact, at the top of human spirituality and perfection, only God knows and understands the high level of such individuals and others at their level. Thus, Fatima alayha salam is only known to her husband, her great father Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, and her pure children. The people of her time, of other times, and we in this era are not able to recognize the brilliance and splendor of her spirituality. The bright light of spirituality is not detectable by everybody's eyes. Our short-sighted and weak eyes are unable to see the luminosity of humanity in these great personalities. Therefore, we do not discuss the definition of Lady Fatima's spirituality. However, in her ordinary life, there is an important point. On the one hand, as a Muslim woman, she perfectly performs her duties at home and behaves nicely towards her husband and children. On the other hand, as a zealous, tireless person, she acts for her causes. In political events, shortly after the death of her father, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, she went to the mosque, gave a speech, expressed her position, and defended her cause. Hence, she represented a marvelous fighting personality that is tireless, enduring, and tolerant. The third aspect of her life reveals her as a devotee of Allah, who performs prayers in the dark of nights, uprises for Allah, and is humble before Allah. And in the worshipping chamber, this young lady worships and speaks to God like the old pious people. Combining these three dimensions is the luminous point in the life of Fatima alayha salam. She did not separate the three dimensions. Some people think that those who worship God are only concerned with prayers and worship and cannot be involved in politics. Or some people think that those women and men who are active in politics and the arena of jihad on the path of Allah, if a woman, she cannot perform her duties at home as a mother and a wife. And as a man, he cannot be a good businessman, husband, or father. They think these qualities are contradictory. Whereas in the view of Islam, these aspects not only reveal that there are no contradictions, but they are also helpful towards achieving the perfect human personality.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome, dear listeners, to Iran Radio, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, broadcasting from the heart of our capital, Tehran. To begin, we invite you to stay with us for today's special, a daily program dedicated to commemorating various Islamic and Iranian occasions, with a blend of beautiful Quranic verses, heartfelt prayers, uplifting nasheeds, and insightful reports. This show creates a space for reflection and connection. Don't miss the opportunity to join us in this spiritual journey. After that, take a moment to immerse yourself in Hadith of the Day. Every day, Sheikh Muhammad Ja'far Danish will present a fresh hadith from the Holy Prophet and his noble family, peace be upon them. Along with each hadith, he will offer brief yet thought-provoking commentary that resonate with our lives, often aligned with key dates on the Islamic or solar calendar. It is a chance to reflect and renew your spirit. Next, we've prepared a selection of some of our finest radio productions filled with stories and soundscapes designed to enrich your day. For those seeking a deeper connection with the Holy Quran, don't go anywhere. Let's recite the Quran with Mr. Habibullah Fasi.